Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter number 9. The book of Acts in chapter number 9. We're still at the beginning part of this series of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, as we get to examine this man of God who was used in a very special way. And what we're doing is we're taking his life and we're putting it into chronological order, or the way that it happened in history. And so from time to time, we won't just follow the book of Acts, but just like we did the other day, we jumped to the book of Galatians and saw as Paul penned and gave us some insight of some things that occurred early in his life. And when we come to a person like we are today, we'll do a character study, or we'll examine a person's life through the Word of God and learn about this man, or learn about that person, and see how they influence and how they encourage and they worked with the Apostle Paul. As we find our way in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, to catch you up on what we've got so far is that we've examined the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, where he came from, his birth, his possible interactions with Jesus Christ as a young man, and how he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ because he did not fit his criteria of being a Messiah. Then how, because of his religious zeal, he began to persecute Christians, drag them out of their houses, put them on trial, and to see their death. And we saw as Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and it changed his life. It revolutionized his life. And he was brought to Damascus, where he was met by a man by the name of Ananias. There Ananias was used of God to encourage Saul of Tarsus, and he got baptized and joined the church of Damascus. And for 3 years, Saul of Tarsus disappeared off the radar of everyone. He just went missing. And we explain from the Word of God what was happening during that time is that God was discipling him. For 3 years, he was taking the Old Testament scriptures and learning all about Jesus Christ. Until now, we find 3 years later, Saul of Tarsus now appears back on the history books. He now appears back in people's radar, and we pick it up in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. The book of Acts in chapter number 9, and we run into the Apostle Paul as he has finished his discipleship. But notice with me in verse number 23. Acts chapter 9, verse 23, notice this. And after that, many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by a wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And when he was with them, coming and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. And if you don't mind, mark the name of the man who was used by God to encourage Saul at this time in Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. And we find the man Barnabas. Barnabas. And in a previous chapter, which we're going to look at, we see how Barnabas is described. He's described as the son of consolation. So if you don't mind, I'd like to do a quick character study on Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of consolation. Barnabas, the son of consolation. And if you wouldn't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you for the great privilege it is to be here tonight, to open up the scriptures, to learn of you. And I'm just excited. I'm looking forward to this encouraging message. And I'm praying that you would help us to remember those that were used of you to help us take the next step. Those that were used in our life to bring us forth to where we should be as Christians, to grow closer to you. And I'm asking that you would help us to determine our hearts, that we would do that to others, that we would take people from where they are and help them take the next step. Once again, I'm very conscious of my need of you. And I'm asking that you fill me with your precious Spirit, that you would be with every aspect of here, and that you would get your own work accomplished through your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to study tonight Barnabas, the son of consolation. And the Bible says quite a bit about Barnabas. And if you don't mind, I'd like to do a quick character study. The first thing I'd like to show you is in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4 is where Barnabas shows up in the biblical radar. In Acts chapter 4, and in the first part of his message here, I'd like to show you about Barnabas is that he was a sincere man. That he was a sincere man. Notice with me in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4, and let's start in verse number 34. Acts chapter 4 and verse 34, the Word of God says this: "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of the land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the thing that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." As we examine Barnabas, we see, first of all, that he was a sincere man. That he was a sincere man. So what's occurring right now in the book of Acts? What's going on in the history? Well, we know that Jesus Christ has already been crucified on the cross. He was buried on a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, Jesus Christ arose. For 40 days, he spent with the apostles and with the disciples and spent time with them. After the 40 days, he ascended up to heaven. In Acts chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit poured down upon the church that was in the upper room. And they preached in the power of Pentecost that day, and 3,000 people were added into the church. And in Acts chapter 4, we see that persecution is starting to go on. That the disciples were asked in Acts chapter 4, the persecution has come in the church, and the people have been told that they are not supposed to preach anymore. But what they did is they went to God and they prayed and said, "God, what do you want us to do?" He filled them with the Holy Spirit, and there was boldness, and the church was added to once again. And Acts chapter 4 and verse number 29, notice what they say: "And now, Lord, behold our threatenings, and grant unto us thy servant, and with all boldness, that they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul. Neither said they any of them that aught of the things which he possessed of his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was them on. Now what happened after this is that many people were saved as their hearts were right with God. They said, "It's all God's things anyways." And so many people willingly gave to the church for the purpose that the church would move forward, so that way they could take care of some of the things within the church. This wasn't a communism or a socialism type thing, but let's say that someone had a problem and they were able to take care of them when a hard time hit. They were able to take care of different things within the church to help the church move forward. And then it focuses on a specific man by the name of Joseph. And notice the character of this man in verse 36, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Barnabas was not his real name. It was the nickname given by the apostles, which meant the son of consolation. That Joseph had become such an encourager that everyone just called him Barnabas. That's the encourager. That's the person that comes and encourages other people. Now notice more about his character. Notice that in verse 36, he was a Levite. Now, just to show how far away the Jewish people had transcended from the law, that according to the law, the Levites were not supposed to own land. What's even worse, notice where he owned the land at. Verse 36, at the end of it, he was a Levite in the country of Cyprus. Cyprus is an island of the Mediterranean Sea, which is a distance away from the land that God had given them. And so here's a man that the people had spread out. They had disobeyed the Bible. But this is a man who had good property on an island. Well, God got a hold of his heart and he says, you know, I don't need this anymore. I'd rather the church have it. I want to be an encouragement. I want the gospel to go out. And so I'm giving this. And so he laid it down at the feet of the disciples and said, use it. Do something with this. And because of all the things that he did, he was called the Son of Consolation. That's one of the names of God, of the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Comforter. That is one of my favorite names of God, is that he's the Comforter. That when we go through hard times, the Comforter has come. That we can get the comfort, that we can comfort other people, that God is the great Comforter. And Barnabas was so like Christ. That's what people called him. That's the Comforter. That's the person that encourages people. That's the, we're so glad to have him in our church. It's because he's there to comfort. He's there to be a blessing. He's there to tell people about the Lord. As we move on, turn with me back to Acts chapter 9 where we're at. As we're studying Barnabas, we first of all see that he was a sincere man. That he was honest. God spoke to him. Other people were giving up their land. He believed that this is what the Lord had him to do. And so he gave up his land. He said, use this. Use this money to further the cause of the gospel. Use this to help the church be strong and to move forward. I want you to go do this. In Acts chapter 9, we see something else here. We see that he was a sympathetic man. Not only was he a sincere man, he was a sympathetic man. Now, going back to where the context was, Saul had disappeared for 3 years. No one knew where he was at. He kind of went off the radar. And then, as Saul had been to a member of the church of Damascus and was preaching and encouraging the Jews, that, in fact, in verse number 22, it said that he proved that this was the very Christ, that he actually opened up the scriptures and proved from the Bible that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, after a while, the Jewish people didn't like it. So what they did is they took counsel to kill him. That has the idea that they made plans and they made an agreement. And so they had people guarding the doors and they were waiting for Saul of Tarsus. We want to get rid of him. The disciples heard about it and said, Saul, it's too dangerous for you to be here anymore. We got to let you go. So what happened is that they lowered him down in a basket off the city walls. How would you like to travel in a basket? Maybe you think of a trash can or something that you kind of squeeze your way into it. And to trust people with a rope to lower you down and to make sure you're taken care of. Because they're watching the gates. They're waiting to find this Saul of Tarsus. And they're wanting to kill him. Well, he can no longer go to his home church. So he says, well, it's about time that I go visit Jerusalem. That's where the apostles are. It's about time for me to go introduce myself. So he travels from Damascus back to Jerusalem. And when he comes there, he does what he's supposed to do. He goes to church. He goes to the assembling together of the disciples, verse number 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, again, he had a testimony. This is a very educated man who dragged people out of their houses and killed people. That's a powerful testimony, a powerful reputation to have. What would you think of if a well-known serial killer came into our church? What would you think about a murderer that was on the news? I mean, maybe he was let go, maybe he was acquitted, maybe he wasn't caught at all, but he stepped into our church. What kind of response do you think that you would have for him? Would you hide your kids? I mean, just being practical, what would you do? Would some of you say, well, I think it's time for me. My back hurts. I need to go leave. You know, imagine maybe James, the brother of Jesus, is preaching. Maybe it's Peter, and they're preaching from the pulpit, and they're introducing people. And here's Saul. And Saul wasn't a stranger. He had lived most of his life in Jerusalem from age 12 to about 30-something years old. Paul is about late 30s at this time. So for many years, he's in Jerusalem. He's known, and he steps into the church service. And nobody believes he got saved. They think he's there to take notes and to say, all right, so-and-so's here, and so-and-so's here, and so-and-so's here. And they're like, oh no, he's got my name. I'm going to get dragged out of here. I don't know where he's been. But nobody believed he got saved. And this is where Barnabas comes in. Notice verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. You know what he did? Is that everyone looked back and they're watching Paul and they're covering their face and no one wants to greet him. Barnabas got off of his seat, went, put his arm around Saul, shook his hand, and he brought him forward and said, preacher, I want you to meet someone. Do you know that meant a lot? Could you imagine what it would be like for Saul of Tarsus to come into a church and everyone look at him, afraid of him? Nobody wanted to talk to him. Imagine how lonely he would feel when he walked in the door and people scattered from him. That would be disheartening for anyone to come into a church that way. Praise the Lord, there was a Barnabas who said, I'm going to take a step out. I want to encourage him. And he just didn't say, I want to encourage you. He brought him up and says, Peter, I want you to meet Saul. James, I want you to meet Saul. John, meet Saul. Mary, the mother of Jesus, I want you to meet Jesus' mother. What an encouragement that would be to have someone open the door for him, to open up the communication for him, to someone to put a chance, to put his arm around him and say, I vouch for him. I want him here. This changed everything. It could have been that Saul walked in, everyone rejected him, and he could have walked back out and never came back. It could have changed all of history here. But because someone dared to take his arm around him, just because he was different, just because people were afraid, just because of this or that, he took his arm. What a great comforter it was. Notice what occurs. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, that the Lord had spoken to Saul, and how he, Saul, had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming and going out at Jerusalem. So what happens is after this introduction, they spend time together. We're coming back to the book of Acts, but look with me in the book of Galatians as the Apostle Paul gives some more light about what occurs during this incident. Look with me in the book of Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter 1, rather. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 18. And notice the Apostle Paul as he's writing this. Then after 3 years, so we talked about the 3 years he was gone, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And notice this, I abode with him 15 days. But the other apostles I saw none, save Jesus, the Lord's brother. And so what happens is that Barnabas meets him and he says, Peter, this is Saul. Saul, this is Peter. And they get along. And for 15 days, the Apostle Paul and Peter are together. It's not the Apostle Paul yet. Now I want you to think in your mind's eye, it just says 15 days, but imagine what occurs in that 15 days. Imagine Peter taking Saul of Tarsus and showing him all the sights where Jesus was at. This is where Jesus raised Lazarus. We're in the town of Bethany. This is Lazarus. I want you to meet him. He raised him from the dead. Hey, this over here, this is where he healed my mother-in-law. Praise the Lord that he actually took care of my mother-in-law. Over here, this is where Jesus did this. Over here, this is where the maniac of Gadara, this is where he was seated and clothed in his right mind. Oh, come over here. I want to show you this. And he gave him for 15 days, gave him a tour of the life of Jesus Christ from the experience of Peter. Then I want you to think of the other side of this. Peter didn't go to school. Peter was a fisherman who was educated by walking with Jesus. But here is Saul of Tarsus, who is at this time, other than Gamaliel, probably the most familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. And that how Saul could open up the Bible and say, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Could you imagine what an education that would be for Peter to have Saul take the scriptures over and over and say, here's Jesus. Man, I would love to watch them for 15 days just to travel behind them and to hear as they were relating all that information back. 15 days they spent together. And you know why that was able to happen? Because of Barnabas. Barnabas got out of his seat, put his arm around Saul, and said, let me show you the preacher. You know, that's what people need to do. Inside of a church, we should never have someone sit by themselves. We should never have someone feel like they're isolated. There are so many churches that major on freezing people out. We should never be that way. We should always look. In fact, I encourage you, church, as an application to this, that if you ever see someone come in and by themselves, you have my permission to get up. And you go sit with them. And you be with them. And you let them know they are welcome. Because you don't know what that person's going through. People come to church because they're invited. They stay because they have friends. We have to show ourselves friendly. We have to show that we want them here and we're glad to have them. And that's exactly what Barnabas did. Remember, his name was the Comforter. And here was an example of that, that he was a sympathetic man. He looked back and saw someone who was alone. And he said, we can't have that. Let me bring him forward. Let him feel welcome. Let me introduce him. Let me show him around. What a wonderful thing that Barnabas did. As we go on, we see that it's not over yet. Let's fast forward in the book of Acts to chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Saul ends up going back to Tarsus. He spends some time in Jerusalem, and because of his preaching, he gets chased out. Now, think in your mind the differences. Peter, who is a follower of the Lord, he's not getting chased out. Now, he gets arrested and threatened to get killed, but it is Saul who gets chased out because of his preaching. You know, it's one thing to have an uneducated, and I'm putting that in quotes, fishermen to preach. It is a different thing for someone to competently take the Old Testament scriptures. Here's Jesus, here's Jesus, here's Jesus. The Jewish population was more afraid of Saul than Peter. And they wanted him out of there. They wanted him gone. And so they chased him off. And once again, Saul had to be chased off. And he went back home to Tarsus. So that's where he's been. Now we find in the book of Acts, chapter 11, we see Barnabas once again. And not only do we see him as a sincere man, not only do we see him as a sympathetic man, but we see him as a spiritual man. We see him as a spiritual man. Notice with me in Acts, chapter number 11. Acts 11 and verse number 19. Acts 11, verse 19, the Word of God says this. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So in verse 19, what happened is that right after Stephen, because of Saul of Tarsus, there was a great persecution. So a lot of people left Jerusalem and they scattered. They went to Cyprus, they went to Antioch, they went to Phoenicia, they went to here and there. But the only thing they did was they went and preached to other Jews. They did not preach to the Gentiles. Jews are starting to hear the word of God, but not the Gentiles. Notice in verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So what happened is that some of the disciples, the Jewish people who escaped Jerusalem, they came to Antioch, and instead of preaching to the Jews, they actually dared to preach to some Gentiles, some Grecians. And guess what? They got saved. And what happened is that they started to assemble together and to form a church. As there was disciples who gathered together, the voluntarily gathering themselves together for the purpose of accomplishing the Great Commission. They gathered together and they were being encouraged. A church was formed. Notice what occurs after this, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So because of this church, many people are getting saved. Now, with all the people getting saved and almost like a revival breaking out, these tidings, verse 22, then the tidings of these things which came to the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So what happened is that the church of Jerusalem heard, man, did you hear about these Gentiles, these Greeks getting saved? You hear about the people gathering together in Antioch? Man, we should investigate that. We'll see what's going on. Barnabas, we can trust you. You go check them out. You go see how they're doing. And Barnabas said, all right, let's go. So what happened in verse number 23? Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all. That means encouraged them with a purpose of heart that they would cleave to the Lord. So Barnabas gets there. He looks and says, wow, look at all these saved people who are trying to serve God. You know, he didn't try to discourage them. He didn't say, you're not doing it right, or what school did you go to? He went there and said, man, this is great. Look at what God is doing in this place. It wasn't man or it wasn't something. It was God that was doing it. And so he got excited and he encouraged them. He says, man, you stay close to the Lord. Stay in your Bibles. This is great. Verse 24, notice as it describes Barnabas again, for he was a good man. Notice this, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. You know what happened in verse 24? He became their pastor. He was just to go up there and to go investigate this and just see what's going on. But he had such a good time and saw what God was doing that he ended up pastoring this church. And as he was pastoring this church, many more people were saved. We see here a spiritual man, someone who recognized what God was doing, and he got on board with it, and he encouraged the other people to keep staying close to the Lord, and he began to teach them some more, and the church grew. Oh, we see here a spiritual man. Oh, this was encouraging. But as he began to preach some more, we see a fourth thing in his life. Not only was he a sincere man, not only was he a sympathetic man, not only was he a spiritual man, but he was a sensible man. He was a sensible man. As the church of Antioch just exploded, by the way, the church of Antioch, the attention is going to move from the church of Jerusalem to the church of Antioch at this place. And it is the church of Antioch that's going to be the missionary sending church. This church began to grow and it began to go leaps and bounds. And Barnabas realized he needed help. Barnabas realized that it was getting bigger than him and he needed someone who was better equipped to pastor these people. So what he did in verse number 25 was this. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. What happened is that Barnabas said, man, I need someone to pastor. I know my own abilities. I know what I could do, but I need someone better equipped for this church. Who can I get? Let me think. Peter? No, Peter's busy down there. What about James? No, he's a little bit too strict. How about John? No, he's busy taking care of the Lord's mother. Well, who can I get? And into his mind said Saul. He said, that's it. That's it. So what he had to do out of his own finances, to a cost of himself, he had to go find where Saul was at. Then he had to go travel and get him and bring him back out of his own cost. Because he said, I need help and this is the man to do it. Whatever it takes, I need to get Saul over here. So Saul comes back, verse 26. And when he had found him, Saul, he brought him, Saul, to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So what happens is that Barnabas gets there at the church of Antioch, and the place explodes even more. He says, I need to get someone. This is bigger than me. He grabs Saul. And that takes a lot of humbleness, by the way, to say, I have my limits. I need someone who's better equipped than me. And he humbled himself and said, Saul, I need your help. So they came, and Saul became the pastor of the church of Antioch. And what happened is that they grew even more. So much that this is where the term Christian came. Now, they didn't call themselves Christian. It was the enemies that called them Christian. They said, those guys, they suffer just like Christ. They're Christians. Those people, they live like Christ. They're Christians. And this is where the term Christians came. And by the way, who was the pastor of that church at the time? Saul. Charles Spurgeon said this, it takes more grace than I can tell to play second fiddle well. You know, it takes a lot of humbleness to play second fiddle, to submit yourself unto a pastor and say, I'm trusting you to do this. I'm following you. You are better equipped. Man, that took a lot of humbleness. It took a lot of grace to play second fiddle, to say, you're the lead. I'm here to help you out. I'm right behind you. Oh, and what a team they made. And it made it so much that it made an impact in the area that the enemies were saying, those are Christ-like people. Those are Christians. And you know why this came about? It was because of Barnabas. He lowered his pride. He said he was sensible. He recognized his own inabilities and he needed help. And he realized there was someone who could do it. And he went and got him. See, all of this made an impact on Saul of Tarsus's life. Because here is a man who was able to take someone from where they are and bring them to the next level. Go where they are and encourage others. He was known as the encourager. It started off with him being a type of man who was understanding. He was a sincere man. What he did is he sold his possessions. He used his money and finances to help the church move forward. And by the way, that made a stable place. So later on, when Saul of Tarsus came in, there was somewhere for him to go to. And then when Saul came in, he was a sympathetic man. He came and put his arm around him and said, let me help you out, brother. Let me encourage you. Let me show you Peter. Let me show you these other guys. And that started a journey for Saul to later on become the Apostle Paul. Later on, he went to a church and he heard about things happening and he witnessed the grace of God. He was discerning that this was God doing it. And because of that, he stabilized and helped a church to grow. And then he said, you know, I know there's a man named Saul. This is a good place for him. He went and brought him. And again, this started off. This is the sending church for Saul's, who's going to become Paul's missionary journeys. This is his home church. This is where he was sent out of. This is where he reported back to. This was a church that exploded with missions. And that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for this key man by the name of Barnabas. You see, Barnabas just wasn't a traveling companion with Saul. He had such a lot to do to help Saul to go from where he was to go to the next level. That's the type of Christians we ought to be, is that we should be constantly looking to how to encourage people to take the next step, to move forward, to get closer with the Lord. You know, you will be surprised how much it will help for someone to be, you know, a pastor can only do so much. Imagine, if you wouldn't mind, we're having a church service and we have someone come in who is not saved. And the invitation time, they are gripping the pew, white-knuckling it, we say, that God is drawing them, but they won't let go. Imagine what a comfort it would be for someone to come by and put their arm around them and say, are you sure you're going to heaven? Would it be all right if I come up and pray with you and have someone show you how you can know Christ as your Savior? And to watch them to let go and to walk them down where they may not have come themselves, but your encouragement helped them to take a step forward? What about when someone's at the altar and they're burdened and they're broken? What a blessing it would be if you recognized and had discernment to come by and say, man, that's a brokenness of heart. I need to pray with them. I need to love on them. Maybe to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Maybe someone needs that comfort. Maybe someone needs that encouragement. Maybe there's something there. You understand that God can use all of us. That people have needs and that people need encouragement. And there's sometimes that people are afraid to take the next step. But if we go alongside with them, that may be one thing they need to start the Christian journey or to continue on their Christian journey. You understand, we want a church full of Barnabases. Amen. People that are going to encourage others to start from where they are and to take the next step. To take the next step. You understand that we don't need to have a church where people just say, well, I'm minding my own business. I'll just stay in my little corner. And when people sit in your pew, you stare at them until they get uncomfortable and leave. You know, we don't want that. Man, we need to be people that's willing to give up our... Please sit. We need to be a type of people that's decided already to encourage them. To be decided already that when people come in, I don't care if they have a green mohawk and that they have an earring and a nose ring and a cheek ring and a chain going from the earring to the nose ring to the cheek ring. We want to shake their hand. We want to greet them. We want someone to sit next to them. We want to love on them. Because they may still feel so uncomfortable they don't listen to the message. But if someone's sitting with them and encourage them, maybe open up the Bible and say, here's where we're at. You understand that you could be used to change someone's life completely. We need to be people who are encouraging. We need to be the type of people that are looking for opportunities. Not to beat people down or discourage them or tell them what they're doing wrong. But to try to encourage them. Say, come on, let's go. Let's move forward. Can I pray with you? What can I do to be an encouragement to you? Find ways to love other people. That's what's going to make a strong church used by God in ways we couldn't even imagine. When we just surrender ourselves and allow ourselves to be a comforter, to be an encourager to others. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.